a hot potato at the moment. If I'm honest, I find that quite daunting, quite overwhelming to sit and think about praying for our community. And a little bit overwhelming, and it can be a little bit tedious. It's hard to latch on to, isn't it? So then I thought, oh, maybe we should look at something a bit more personal, you know, people that you know that you're praying for, work colleagues, people we socialise with. But I've also been in the place where I'm sitting where you're sitting and I don't have anybody on my list. And then I feel guilty and then I feel like I should have somebody on the list. And that can be a bit unproductive, I think. So I thought, wouldn't it be better if we could pray God's agenda? Wouldn't that be a bit of a better idea? But how do we know that? How do we know what he wants? Well, I think he has been speaking to us. I think it's fair to say. I've labelled that whole thing prophetic. Now, I'm no Bible scholar, I'm no teacher, I'm no preacher, but I grew up 20 years in the faith under Minister David Sherman with a strong prophetic gift on a national level. And I've seen him on a week-to-week basis unpacking the Word of God, getting to grips with what God's saying, picking out in a church of 1,000 people, picking out people and speaking the Word of God into their lives in a really powerful way. I also, 25 years ago, which was a really long time, and I was tiny, I went, thank you for laughing, Julie, I went to a 3-day school of prophecy led by a guy called Graham Cook from Pioneer People. Some of you may remember that sort of house church movement under Gerald Coates. And Graham explained prophecy as the now word of God. That's a term that I have come to understand, the now word. What is God saying now and with a view to the future? That's what I mean and what I understand by the prophetic. Now, sometimes we think, you know, God might say, thou shalt go and serve me in, you know, outer Mongolia. I probably did say that to Steve, but... That doesn't happen to most of us, and actually if it did, we'd freak. And in my experience, and I'm talking really from experience here, those words come as a confirmation of something God's already saying, and already you've already started to investigate something with God, and then a word comes out of the blue that confirms everything you were thinking. That's a strong prophetic word, but I think most of what God says to us, which is what I'm referring to tonight, is the now word of God. God says it now with a view to the future. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us all prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So that thou shalt go and serve me in another country generally fills us with trepidation. It's not that. It's the encouraging. God loves you. God's rooting for you. God's with you. That's got a prophetic. It's got something of the life of God in it. That's what I'm talking about. The word and the word and the spirit come together. When the Holy Spirit anoints the word and it comes to life. And I suspect it's happened with some of you. You're reading your Bible, being good Christians. And something smacks you in the face that you hadn't seen before. That's exactly what you've been thinking about and what God is saying to you. That's prophetic. That's the now word of God. That's what God's saying to you. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. I'm reminded, I was thinking, what is our response to that? And that's kind of what I'm coming to tonight. I'm reminded of Nathan and David in 2 Samuel 7 and 8. And I'm probably going to paraphrase the story. Let me just turn to it for a second. That'd have helped if I put a marker in the Bible, wouldn't it? Sorry about that. This is interesting because my whole journey, some of you will know that I used to chair Food Bank up until Friday. We have the new chair in the room, David. My journey with Food Bank started with David's prayer, which I'm going to come to. But a sense of, what does God want? What? Let God's will be done. Without an agenda, without a shopping list of, I'll do whatever you want, Lord, but this, this, and this. So, 2 Samuel 7, yeah, that's right, verse 1, sorry. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a place of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." And Nathan said, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." So David had this plan to build a temple for God, to build a house. And then that night, Nathan goes home and God speaks to him really clearly and says lots of very exciting things, which Nathan then reports back to David the next morning, along the lines of, "You're not the one to build the temple. Somebody, one of your descendants will do it. I will be with them. I will establish your family. I will establish your house. But you're not the one to build the temple." And David's response, this is, I love this prayer, in verse 19. "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord?" And I have a sense of that. My parents weren't Christians. They are now. I wasn't brought up Christian. My dad was an out and out, off the scale atheist. And his parents before him. My mum had a bit of a nominal church upbringing. And yet now both my parents are serving him in retirement with all the hours that they have. My brother and his wife are leading a church of almost 1,000 people in Coventry. And I have to say with David, "Who am I and what is my family that you've brought me this far? Is this your usual way of dealing with man?" I find it incredible. Anyway, I digress slightly. My point in this is that it's a word for now, but looking to the future. And David goes on to say his response, which is pertinent to us tonight, in verse 25. "And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so your name will be great forever." And I really just wanted to say, if God speaks to us, our response really is just to agree with him. And if we're praying God's will, we're just agreeing with God. And actually, that's a really powerful prayer. If God has a plan for Rutland and has a plan for ABC, if we can get to understand what that is and agree with it, it will come to pass. So, in true preacher style, I've got 3 scriptures I'd like us to look at tonight. They don't all start with the same letter, though. It won't come as a massive surprise to you that I'm going to start in Isaiah 60. Verse 1. So verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you." And we have taken that as a promise from God that his glory is coming. And I'm excited about that, and that is alive in me with the Holy Spirit. That is I am 100% God is on something for his glory. But I don't know about you, but I jump to the glory bit. But actually, it starts with a command. And it's not conditional. There's a lot of scripture says, if you do, if you obey, I will bless. If you disobey, there will be a curse. There's a lot of conditional. But this isn't conditional. This is a command. This is an imperative. Arise and shine. So I've been asking God, what does that mean for us? What does he want us? What should our response be? And without getting overcomplicated, arise means stand up, doesn't it? It means get up. We use it in a get out of bed. Or stand up. And the phrase that keeps coming to me is step up to the plate. That's the arise of God, I think. And then shine. If we shine, we excel at something, don't we? It's something we're good at. We shine. And I very simply think that God is asking us to step up into our gifting that he's given us and into his purpose for us. And this isn't manufactured. It may be coincidence. Next week, sign up Sunday. What, we're going to 2 services. We've got a new leadership structure. What is God asking of us as individuals within church? But more than that, looking at community, is God asking anything of you in your day-to-day, Monday to Saturday life? Is there something you can that's quickening in you. I don't mean sign up for loads of stuff for the sake of it. I mean to shine for God, to step up into your gifting. Excuse me. What has God put in you that hasn't come out yet? The second scripture is really connected to this, and it's the Genesis 26 about unblocking the wells. And Isaac went and unblocked the wells and brought the life, brought the water and the life of God. And I missed Julie speak about that, and some of you will have been here and you know what that refers to. But I think it refers to the releasing of the life of God, the anointing. And it's kind of the same thing. It's what's God asking you to do? Step up and let his spirit lead you in it. The third scripture I looked at is buried in the middle of Isaiah 16. It's verse 17. And I'd probably be helpful if I read it to you, because it's a bit random on the face of it. He says, instead of bronze, I will bring you gold, and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze, and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor, and righteousness your ruler. Now, I asked God what that meant. And we were looking at buildings and all of that, but I believe God said it was something better. He's promising us something better. Bronze is good, right? It's a precious metal. It lasts a really long time. People have statues and things in the garden made of bronze. Some people do, I don't, but you know. But gold's better, it's more precious. And what struck me quite recently is it's actually a completely different element. Silver isn't iron, it's a different element. It's something different. And I think at this time we're looking at multiple services, the face of church is changing a little bit. But God's promised us something better. I'm really excited about that. And again, I would ask you, is there something in your community, is there something you're involved with, that God wants something better for those people? Maybe it's the street where you live, maybe it's people you socialise with. I think God wants something better. He's promising us something better. I'd like us to consider praying for the council and let you know the recent change in the leadership of the council. So last year, Roger Beggie passed away. Terry King, deputy, stepped up, and then he had a stroke. I think he was really poorly. We've now got a new guy, Tony Matthias. The council have had I can't remember what the inspection's called, but it's like Ofsted of the social care department. It didn't come out great. They've been running on a lot of temporary short-term contracts with very little continuity of care. There's a lot of change going on. I'd really like to pray for something better for the poor in our county. And you know, God's done something in me. I was never somebody to stand up here and fight for the poor. It wasn't me. It wasn't my thing. But through my walk with him in Food Bank, he has just shown me how much he cares for the poor and how much it breaks his heart and how much he wants something better for them. I've really been challenged and I'm quite excited about schools at the moment. Now, fair enough, I've got two school-aged children. That might not be your thing, but I just want to tell you a little story that 18 months ago or so, I had an impression, and the children coming home saying that they weren't praying as much in school and there weren't as many Bible stories and there didn't seem to be any Christian staff other than one or two that were known to us, including Annie, to be fair. And I sat on it for a while, and then I wrote a letter to school saying, I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. My children aren't, you know, don't always tell the whole truth. They may not see the whole picture. But how can we excel at being a Christian school? And it's that there was a sense of there's something better here for these children. And I've really been struck, and this is, I apologise to Julie, because I'm sure she's got a handle on this, but it was a bit of a revelation to me that you can stand in a school assembly in front of 210 inquiring minds open to the possibility of God. You know, we don't get those numbers in church, do we? We're not a million miles away, but, you know, just that opportunity, the little sponges bless them, and you inspire them with a sense of a God who loves them, who they can go to and speak to. That's a huge challenge for me. Anyway, the upshot of all this, I got called in to see the head. Took me back. And they sat down, they talked through what they were doing to provide the Christian ethos and the teaching, and they asked me to become a foundation governor, which is a governor with specific responsibility for delivering the Christian ethos. And very long story short, I'm delighted to tell you that tomorrow morning, Julie, Nikki, Gillian and I are going into Langham to do a Bible-based assembly. And I pray that's the first of many. I think we might slightly be on trial, but they would like us to go in, I think, on a regular basis. So that's really what I wanted to share with you, what I think God's saying. And I'd like us to respond in two ways. I'd like, first of all, for us to respond to that arise and shine, the new challenge, the challenge that the Holy Spirit brings us, to step up to the plate. And I'd like to pray for you. What I'd like to do is anybody, if you feel that is you, you don't have to tell us what it is. It's between you and God. If you feel God speaking to you about something, to make a physical commitment to him to stand up to do it. And I'd like us to pray for each other if that's okay. Can I ask you if you would do that now? Should we close our eyes and pray? But can I ask you, if you feel God speaking to you about new challenges, about taking a step of faith, a step into something you've perhaps not done before, or a weight of responsibility that he's giving you, would you stand before him, a response to him? And I'd like to ask, if there's somebody near you, if you can just turn and pray with them. And then perhaps where we are, to pray together for people in our community, the new challenges, for the leadership team and the elders. Perhaps we could just pick up on some of that arise and shine. Is that okay? Can we pray?